Grace to you and peace from Jesus, the risen Lord, the risen Savior, our friend. Grace to you and peace from him who is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with Ruth, chapter 1, which is the story of one of the greatest friendships in all of history, in all of human time, and in all of the Bible. I'll read several verses here to give you the story of Ruth and Naomi. In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two took Moabite wives, and the name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she started with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, in other words, to Israel, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house." Then a verse later, "Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me?' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if death parts me from you.' And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more." So this is the story of Ruth and Naomi. I think one of the greatest stories of friendship in all of humankind, in all history, and in the Bible. Because here we see a woman, Ruth, the story of her faith, the story of a woman who's willing to leave behind, think of it, her house, her home, her family, her acquaintances, everything she's ever known, all of her regular customs, her old gods, to go off to an unknown land, an unknown people, an unknown customs, an unknown circumstances, and to cling, though, to Naomi and to her living God, whom she'd begun to know by faith. A great story of friendship. And the Bible speaks well of friendship. And I want to talk with you today about friendship with the living God, with Jesus Christ. Can you indeed call God friend? And can indeed God, even though he's great in majesty, call you by this intimate, communal name of friend? Wouldn't that be lovely if that's the case? Well, we'll see. Let's take a look first at what the Bible says about friends. What is it like to have a friend? Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, born for your day of trouble, to help you through it." Proverbs 18:24 says, "There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Are you a friend to God who sticks closer than a brother? And is God a friend to you who sticks closer than any brother? Well, we look again to this story from Ruth and Orpah and Naomi. It says here that in verse 14, they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Yes, there are friends who pretend to be friends, betraying Naomi with a kiss was Orpah. Reminds me of someone else in the Bible. Remember this? Judas? Jesus spoke to him saying, "Friend," and he said, "Friend, Friend, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Well, Judas did, and Orpah did. I pray none of us may. But rather, like Ruth, we cling to Christ. And what I'd like to do today, then, is to look at friendship based upon Ruth's confession of faith of her friendship with Naomi and see how it relates to our relationship with Jesus. So what do we read here again? We're just going to go through this step by step, and that will be our sermon today. So verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I go." In other words, Naomi, wherever you travel, that's where I want to be. I'm going to be close at your heels. Wherever you go, I will go. Do you say that of Jesus? For to say that of Jesus is to be his friend. Whithersoever you go, O Lord, there I want to be. There I go too. Which reveals to us a beautiful image which is found throughout the New Testament in Jesus' words of the good shepherd and his sheep. Remember what he says? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. And so the first thing we learn about friendship, if you'd be a friend of Christ, you believe in him, believe that he died and rose for you, but then having believed in him, you follow him. Now, John says in his letter that we read here for today, he said, "And by this we may be sure that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected." And as Jesus said in our gospel lesson for today, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Do you know that God wants you to call him friend? And he wants to be able to call you friend? Think of what the blessings of this is. That wherever he goes, you go with him, and wherever you go, he goes with you. It is an intimate, friend-loving friend at all times. And we know that we know him. We know that he's our friend when we do what he says. When we do as Ruth does, cling to him and not kiss him goodbye, "Nice knowing you." That's a friend who pretends to be a friend. But we want to stick closer than a brother. Now, when I was a little boy, I had two little dogs, miniature schnauzer and a white West Highland Terrier. And when it came winter in Connecticut, sometimes we'd have some big snowdrifts outside our door. And I'd let the dogs out, and they wouldn't know it was a big snowdrift, and they'd run into it and couldn't go anywhere. Be way over their heads. Very funny. But the way I'd take them for a walk, up over the hill and through the woods, the grandmother's, grandmother wasn't there. But I would go out, and I'd start dragging my feet through the snowdrifts, creating a path. And I could go all the way up around and up through the woods, places they couldn't go, except for the fact that Lady and Mickey were right there at my heels, following in my footsteps. And sometimes I actually feel her when I'd pick up my feet through the drifts. There was Lady bumping into my shoes. She was so close. And this is the image of how God wants us to go through our lives with him, as friends, clinging closely to his heels. Wherever he goes, there we go. Just as Ruth said, "Yes, Naomi, wherever soever you go, there I go." Because she's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But sometimes, you know, the Lord, the difficult part about him is that he's a God who's always on the move. See, we're kind of happy. We get comfortable in our little place spiritually where we are. Comfortable and want to remain the status quo. But what God wants is he is a God who's continually moving. He wants you to continually follow him, and sometimes that's difficult. But what's his promise to you? He says, "Dear Christian, I call you friend. You say wheresoever you go, Jesus, I want to go and I will go. But now the Lord says back to you, and wheresoever you go, I will go." I shall be with you in everything. And if I lead you into dark places, into difficult places, then I want you to know this. As it says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That is, you're to fear no evil. For I'm with you. My rod and my staff comfort you. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And I'll anoint your head with oil so that your cup overflows. Even if he leads you into places of persecution and difficulty, do you know that he can sit down and have a picnic with you in the face of all this adversaries and opponents and threats, whether they be from things or people? Because the Lord is with you. He says, I'm your friend. Just think of what that means. To have God himself as a friend means you don't have to fear anything. If God is for us, who or what could possibly be against us? And when we follow his commandments, they're not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So as it says in Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Do you find rest for your souls? Do you walk in the ways of Jesus? Obey him, follow his word, keep his commandments, and you may know for a certainty and see through that that you do indeed cling to him and know that you are a friend of God. And God is a friend that loves at all times. As it says, when Jacob was in the wilderness sleeping, God said to him, behold, I'm with you, will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done all of that which I spoke to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. But I want to speak now and challenge you and speak a word of penetration to you right now. Do you know it? Do you know that God himself is your friend? Do you know that he is with you? Will you say, as did Jacob, surely the Lord is in this place? I didn't know it. Look, he's the living God. We're not serving Buddha. We're not serving Muhammad. We're not serving Confucius or Laozi. They're all in their graves to this day. But we serve the risen Savior who's at the right hand of God. He's alive. And he has promised you, according to his sure and steadfast word, I will be with you. Though you don't see me, I'm your friend. And I will keep you. You are my servant. Abraham, my friend, he said before. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my victorious right hand. So believe that today. Though you can't see him, God is and desires to be your friend. And therefore, when Orpah kissed and betrayed Naomi that way, and Judas the same with Jesus, Jesus says, will you also go away, all of you today? Then we can respond with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So, if you're a friend, wherever he goes, you go. You follow and obey his commands. Then secondly, we see something else here. Going through this confession of Ruth. Are you with me? All right, praise God. She says, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. In other words, your home, Naomi, as part of the package deal, wherever you go, I go, and your home is going to be my home. Where you take up shelter, that's going to be my shelter. And I want to tell you something today, friends. If you're a friend of Christ, you have a new home. You know, the world hasn't figured this out yet. They go through their lives clinging to the things of this world. Their hearts and their minds are on this earth, this life, this existence. What do they find at the end? Is what James says, that life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And they get sad at the end of their life because their friends are dying. My health is going away. All that is around me is failing. I feel sorrowful because they don't have this new home that comes with Jesus. But God has promised you a home in the heavens. Philippians 3, our commonwealth, citizenship, home, and country is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you rejoice in that today? You know, this life can just be such a downer sometimes, you know? God blesses us. There's many wonderful things to enjoy here. But the great hope we have every day for a light heart is, hey, I got a home, though, up there. This isn't my home. That's my residence. And as Jesus said, I go to prepare for you a place in my Father's house. And of the Old Testament saints, it was written that they acknowledged that they were just strangers and exiles here on this earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. Hebrews 11. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they'd have gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. And if you're a friend of Jesus, and you say, wheresoever you lodge, I'll lodge, I want you to know you have an eternal home that can't be broken, where no thief can break in and steal. And Revelation describes it as a place with golden streets, with the foundations of the city, of every precious jewel, of high walls and of gates of pearls. All these things are waiting for you in truth and reality because you have a friend who has a different house, a different home. And because you know him, you get to go and live with him in his house and have that as your residence. And a great hope on account of it. So let's then go outside the camp and bear abuse for him. For we have here no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. And Jesus, because he's your friend, you know what he says back to you? You say, I'll lodge where you lodge, Jesus. Jesus says, yeah? Well, I'll say this back to you. And where you lodge, there I will lodge. As he said in John 14, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You know what a blessing that is? If God's your friend, that means he lives in you, and you are his house. And that means that no matter where you are in this earth, if you go to the far corners of the globe, if you go to a surgery that you are dreading and you don't want to be at that operating table, if you are in a lonely place spiritually or something like that, you're still home because Jesus is living inside you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whither shall I go from thy spirit or flee from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand hold me. So rejoice today in Jesus. You have a good shepherd who leads you, and you have a new home. But then let's look what Luke says next here, the third part. Wherever you go, Jesus, wherever you go, Naomi, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge, and your people shall be my people. If you cling to Christ, as Ruth did to Naomi, and go with him, then you all of a sudden inherit a whole new family. You know, in the days when I was sailing tall ships and I was down in St. Thomas, I went to a bookstore and I was having a spiritual struggle. And there was there a black lady, much older than I was, from a Caribbean island, was where she grew up. A different race, a slightly different denomination. And yet, I shared with her my problem, instant connection. Why? Because she's my family. And because I believe in Christ, and she did, I had a new people. And I could recognize them all over the world. And Peter said, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And not only so, you have fellowship with the saints, but let me tell you something else. You got fellowship with angels. Did you know that? With spirits, with the angels of God, so much greater in might and power and intellect than you. And you have friends in high places. You know how good it is to have friends in high places? Let me give you an example. When my dad was in the Navy years ago, he got out after 4 years, went into business. His friend Jack Darby stayed in. Well, years later, I was in Cub Scouts. My dad was the leader of that. And he decided to see what he could do in calling up Jack Darby about maybe something he could do for the little Cub Scouts. And while most of the little dens were out there with their carved sticks and their marshmallows roasting by the fire, our den troop, according to Jack Darby, Commodore Darby, in charge of all Atlantic submarines Darby, friend in high places, had our den go out on a nuclear submarine, go out to sea, dive down, fire blank air charges out of the torpedo tubes, be escorted around by all the high officers of the fleet, and have an F-14 fly by the conning tower when I was on there with my dad and the captain. All because of one little phone call, because he had a friend in high places. Oh, my friends, that's nothing next to what you got in Jesus as your friend. You got friends in higher places than that. And the angels, it says in Hebrews chapter 2, are ministering spirits. Their purpose in life, in eternity, is to serve you. For those who are to obtain salvation, they come to minister. And so when you have Jesus as your friend, you've got friends in high, high places. And Jesus himself says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And so, as Ruth said, your people shall be my people. Well, I'm thankful today that in Jesus, his people are now my people, and I have a great family of God to enjoy heaven with forever and ever. And my God is the Almighty God with all power, and all of his children say amen. Then we got one more today. One more, she goes, for where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, Naomi, I'll lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Oh, this is the best of them all. When Ruth left to go with Naomi, to cling to her, she not only got Naomi and all these other things, but she got Naomi's God. And what's it say? Boaz, the man she was going to marry, Ruth, when she came there, Boaz said to her, the Lord recompense you, Ruth, for what you've done. And clinging to Naomi, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Do you know that if you've followed Jesus and clung to him, you've come under also the God of heaven and Israel. Under his wings you've now taken refuge. For Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. But guess what? If you go through Jesus, you do get the Father and his friendship. And his power, and his might, and under his wings you find perfect refuge for every storm of life. For he's the risen Savior, having conquered death, having forgiven your sins on the cross. And it says in Philippians, Psalm 25, the friendship of the Lord, listen to me now, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and to them, and he makes known to them his covenant. Has God made known to you his covenant? His covenant is Jesus died and rose again for your forgiveness. You have life by faith in his name. And if you know that and believe that, you can say for a certainty today, God is my friend. For the friendship of the Lord belongs to those who fear him, and to them he makes known his covenant. And Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. That's how much he loves you. This is the God you get when you get Jesus. When you come into fellowship and friendship with him, you get a God who is with you, who will never forsake you or leave you, and who is perfect in power, perfect in faithfulness. And I say, fear not, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's the word right now to you from your friend, from the God who's called you into a fellowship with himself, and who wants you not to go through your life doubting this. He doesn't want you, I wonder, you know, he loves me, loves me not, picking flowers all day. Friendship. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Will you cling or will you kiss? I pray you cling. And I'm thankful today. I'm thankful that I have a friend, a God, who loves at all times, a God who sticks closer to me, closer than a brother, forever. Amen.